Yeah, they ain't gonna like it. They ain't gonna like it. I be getting to the money. Everybody mad. Think I'm getting too much money. Everybody mad.
So I want to jump into next. So after you've printed the shirts, what's the process like to? Because I know there's a process to get it off the screen to then burn the next logo or design into the press, correct?
So like if you're done with that order?
Yes. So for example, when you have a day where you have like four different orders to do, how do you get the design off the screen to then put the next design on the screen?
So what I try not to overdo myself. So being that, you know, I work from home, my screen printing press only allows four screens at a time.
Oh, you have a four screen.
And
oh.
So, so what happens is, this is silly.
That's fancy.
So what happens is, depending on how many colors is in each design, I would either have to wait until I finish one design and have to actually clear the screen off completely. So for instance, when I did the screens for Slutty Vegan, they have two colors in their logo. Mm-hmm. We had a black shirt with the red and white print. I had to create a screen for the red. I had to create a screen for the white. And I think I had an order after that required two colors too. So what I would do is kind of prepare the screen for the next order and just have it ready, or maybe have it, let it dry while I'm working on the other ones and kind of go from there. But if it's kind of past that four, I just have to wait to the next order and try to clean them off all at the same time.
Okay. All right. So that definitely covers the process of how that works. So now that we've dived into a lot of what Ivan does in the business of Inked Up Designs, I want to talk about some of the brands that you've created as your own creator, instead of, because I know you create brands or help other people create their brandings in their t-shirts from the designs that you create for them or the ones they send to you. But now I want to talk about your own branded content, like my favorite t-shirts that you have and the one that you have on now, the Black Period, that was the February shirt that was really dope. So I want you to talk about those. How did those come about? Why did you decide to not only make other people's shirts, but make your own shirts?
So in February of, actually not even February, in 2017, by that time I was kind of printing shirts for at least about 2 years at that point, maybe like a year and a half, because I started printing like at the end of 2015, so that really wasn't even a full year. But I was kind of tired of just printing everybody else's stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know, I want to come up with something of my own. But for a long time, I kind of didn't know what to do, you know. Mm. So I was kind of, I knew I wanted something faith-based. Yes. You know, I was really feeling, I still am feeling, God is Dope. That's a brand that I've really, you know, admired for a very long time. And I wanted to try to do something that'll encourage people and inspire people. And I didn't know what to say because for a while I was just coming up with phrases. Like, I think I did something like "It's Handled" and had "Sign God," kind of like coined from Olivia Pope.
I like that.
Yeah, I did. I started with that, and I think I did a few more.
Where
that
shirt at?
I mean, I can print anything I want to now, but I'm just saying. I'm just saying at that time.
People get a little cocky. I can print whatever I want. I ain't worried about y'all.
But I started with that, but I wasn't consistent. I was kind of trying to see what the people wanted, you know, based on social media and the posts and engagement. And so I posted one shirt that just had "Favor" bold on the front. Mm-hmm. And when I say that shirt alone went like crazy, like people just really loved it. Excuse me. And I started doing different patterns. And so I did my famous gold leopard print "Favor," which is bold. You actually have that one.
I do have that one.
And that one was the one I was really scared about, because I was just like,
too bold.
I don't think people would rock this.
Why?
You know,
because it's too bold?
It was too extra, but I liked it. But I feel like I'm extra at times, but at the same time, I didn't know how that one would be perceived.
And I'm always extra. That's why that's the one I have.
So I had no idea. I had no idea. But I did that, and it went off. But I think where I messed up was I had too many options, too many color options.
Ah, and so and that makes it more difficult for you to constantly pump them out along with the other orders that come in.
Right.
Okay. Yes.
Because I had.
You know, sometimes I don't want to cut you off, but I know sometimes when you guys see your favorite creators create t-shirts, right? And a lot of times you see that they only do white and black, and a lot of times you don't understand like why. But being sitting next to someone who's printing shirts, I can imagine having to print yellow, blue, white, orange, gray. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it was. See, at that time I was only doing vinyl and heat press, so like I would print it out on my vinyl cutter and just heat press it. So it took a lot of time, but I mean, I had access to so many colors that I wanted to satisfy everybody. I said, let me do some colors in people's school colors. Mm-hmm. Let's do some fraternity and sorority colors. It still said favor, but it was going to be in whatever colors for whomever, you know. So, I mean, what I learned from that was, you know, people love the brand, but you kind of gave everybody too much at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always tell people now.
Drop it off in doses.
Yeah. I tell people now, like, what color, you know, and I try to sway away from the black and white, because some people may want to start with red and white. You know what I mean? Even not if you, necessarily. You know, I would say keep it to maybe two colors. And it's for any entrepreneur, any person who wants to start a brand or a t-shirt brand, I would say try to keep it to a two color max when you're starting out.
Mm-hmm.
Because what will happen is someone, and Sherrod with God Is Dope talked about this, he was pretty much saying that, you know, what will happen is when people really like the brand and they see it in those two colors, when you do pop out a third one, they're going to say, oh wow, like I like this third one, let me get that one because I already got the other two, you know. So That's kind of the concept I've kind of tapped into now. I've grown so much with that. I've kind of changed the I've my favorite shirts, and it was funny. I didn't know what to name it,
and so you didn't want to call favorite my favorite.
Well, see, the thing about it is, you know, I was big on my goal was to whatever the name of the company was gonna or the name of the brand was gonna be. I wanted it to be something that was universal everywhere. My domain, my Instagram handle, my Facebook name. But
okay,
as I dived into just typing in favor, oh, that was gone. Been gone. So I was just like, all right, so what am I going to say? So I was just like, let's just say my favorite shirts. And of course, at the time, I didn't think, oh, well, you may branch out into hats and doing everything else. I guess the original goal of the brand was to allow people to make people remember that favor was on their life, regardless of, you know, a lot of people, you know, try to stay away from talking about God or talking about church in certain aspects or some environments because they feel like they get
do that.
Well, some people do it because it can be a touchy topic. You got people who, you know, you have people who literally say, I don't know why y'all go to church. I'm not sure, you know, like that's a waste of time. Y'all giving y'all money to this church. Folks ain't helping y'all out. I understand that, but I'm just saying sometimes it can be an iffy topic. But of course, everyone loves God, regardless of what God they serve. And so I feel like, you know, kind of keeping it faith-based / motivational
right.
is kind of what kept me going. Like, I don't try to, you know,
appeal
tell
to any
people,
specific type of religion, just someone who has faith and believes in favor, for example, even if they don't, even if they're, I guess, I don't know what the different religions are. I'm not really religious. So, like, I guess someone who's Baptist could still feel like they have favor, right?
Yeah.
And someone, so it doesn't necessarily feel like, for example, if you're a Jehovah's Witness, you can still wear a favor shirt, yeah. right? You don't feel like, oh, this is for that religion and I'm not that religious, so I can't wear this. As a matter of fact, I think that's really an interesting topic because I feel like after seeing God Is Dope everywhere, it made me feel like people always did want to rep their religion in a way. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because the explosion of that brand, to me, is like next level. To see a brand that is so boldly putting it right on the front line, like, this is about God. So it lets you know that people really do always wanted that.
But I think a lot of it had to do, and we definitely want, you know, want to put a lot of emphasis on God is Dope. Shout out to Sherrod over in the God is Dope team. But I know a lot of, and he talks about this, a lot of his thing, his blow up was that it was controversial because it's like you don't use God and dope in the same sentence, you know. So it's kind of like that's kind of, you know, one thing. And I picked up on that quickly, which is what led to my
creating
the Save Day Elf shirt.
Oh, yeah, so we're going to get into shirt, that shirt.
So that shirt is really
love
what
God. You
took
don't love
me.
God. What's wrong with your shirt?
That shirt, that design was so funny because I was on the phone with somebody and we were talking about, and I was just like, what if we said Saved AF? But I didn't think and favored could be for that. So I put the design on, I wore it one time. And when I say I got so much backlash from that, oh my God, I got so much backlash. But at the same time, a lot of people were for changing the mindset of what we have taken two letters
to become
and made it seem, you know, at the end of the day, because AF could stand for anything.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, I think the media, social media, and just people in general have coined it to mean one thing the most. So mm-hmm. that's just what we collectively associated with. But at the same time, you know, it's one, it was just a design, it was just a shirt. But, you know, I received so much backlash from it. A lot of people were against me and people who didn't even know me. You know, it was crazy. But I mean, when you have something that's controversial, that's what sells.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I mean, I actually have that shirt back on the line as well. I'm on the website right now. But, you know,
did you take it off for a little while?
I took it off for a while because I was tired of the backlash and I wasn't ready for that. I was trying to sell some shirts and inspire people. You know, that was my whole goal.
I'm just trying
my
to
goal
make my
was
love
not
money around here,
huh?
I'm trying to make my love money around here. What's wrong with you people?
So silly. You know, I mean, that was my goal initially, just to inspire and change the mindset of people so that they won't think, you know, AF has to be one thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you have no, you know, it's a mindset thing.
It is.
It's a mindset thing. Mm-hmm.
Not only did you put Saved AF, but underneath it, it said what it stood right. for. So I was confused. Like, I understand the connotation, but, like,
people
words
people,
mean thing,
know.
And it says what the word means. So I was just very, you know, perplexed. But I get it. I'm not in that world. People are very, you know, whatever. That's the feeling of that. But so you removed it from the line, which I actually did not know you removed from the mm-hmm. line. So you removed it from the line. And then talk about what was your next design after that. Because I think this one was the next design, or there was one in between.
So I pretty much redid Favor so that it looks more like a boxed logo right now. More like a bubble logo. Mm-hmm. And so I redid that. And that was only a little bit of portion of rebranding that I kind of wanted to do. And so that's the signature Favor look that I wanted to go for. And so what I've been doing since then was, because the goal of the brand is to, every design, every shirt will have something regarding favor or motivation. Because that's ultimately what my original purpose was. That still is my goal, you know, to motivate people via t-shirt, via apparel, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of my posts on social media, you know, I just don't post shirts and that's it. I post a lot of motivational quotes and different ideas and thoughts that will help people get to the next level in their lives so that they can, you know, be motivated. So for February, I came out with the Black Period because I'm very Afrocentric. I believe in people being aware of the things that are happening here in our country that are not for, in the favor of African Americans.
Look at that. Look how the tie
and
in.
So
the favor.
You are silly. So, you know, that was a part of just my February Black History Month collection, but that was a big hit as well. You know, a lot of people
it resonated
and enjoyed it. Yeah, you know. So, of course, it didn't have favor in there. I put it at the bottom just for knowledge of the brand, but at the same time, wanted to just bring people aware of what's happening, you know, because my point of doing that was that, hey, you know, I support Black businesses, period. Mm-hmm. I support
period.
Everything Black, period.
Period.
Like, you know, we can't run from, there's so many people out here who, you know, who say, I don't support Black businesses because of one situation. You know, I always say there are no excuses for black business owners.
Nope.
There are no excuses for black business owners. But at the same time, I will say we are at a disadvantage. One, sometimes because of lack of capital. And when we don't have that funding to do those things, it's kind of like we get the end of the stick. And it's like sometimes the customer will catch us in a moment that we don't want them to see. But mm-hmm. because everything's so natural, it just happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always give my because I work, I have a few suppliers where I use different black businesses too for other things. And so a lot of the times, you know, they may mess up and do something. So because I'm a business owner myself, I was putting to the side, like, okay, what's going on? What's up? How can we fix this? What can I do to help you so we can fix this so that nobody else who's not a business owner who, you know, because you got a lot of people out there who are African-Americans who just say, forget black businesses. I'm not supporting them. I'm going to take my behind to Lennox and only shop there. We're not doing anything, catered to us or we supplied by
I don't understand that though.
Well, like, I mean, a lot of it was because of experiences. You know,
because how many times have you been to a big box retailer that has treated you wrong, but you continue to go back there? You give them other chances, but it seems like as black businesses, we only got one chance. It's like we're only given one chance, and you mess up that one, you fuck up that one time. And the customer's like, bah, peace out. But if big box over there in the corner says they treated you wrong or made you feel like they were overly harassing you, yeah, you might make a whole big fuss about it. But next week when you need your groceries, guess where you back? At that same place. But if I do it and I own a grocery store, you ain't never coming back to my grocery store. And this is why I don't shop at black businesses and blah, blah, blah. And I'll just be like, I'm confused. If they get another chance, why don't we get another chance?
That's a good point. You know, sometimes I always say the chains have a huge advantage because I can go to... I can go to this Kroger on Monroe and have a bad experience,
mm-hmm.
but I can go to the Kroger over on North Howard Mill,
mm-hmm.
and my experience can be a little different. I'm not saying that could be a reason because some people, you know, they just say, oh, I'm just going to go to another one. Or even if you have a fast food restaurant, some people may go to a McDonald's or a Chick-fil-A and say, oh, I don't like that one on this street. I'm going to go to another one. And because they have options.
They also
I feel like they have options of the same store. They do have options with black businesses too.
I get it. It just might be another store, but that's right. Perfectly okay. I don't see. Yes. Okay. Say I have horrible customer service and you come to my store and I curse you out or something and you say, oh, I'm not coming back to your store ever. Great. But guess what? Ivan has a store too. Go shop at Ivan's store. Just don't come to my store. I don't see why that's not an option. Why it feels like every time a black business does something wrong, we're automatically canceled from the fold and you jump to the other racist store. The other race, that makes sense. The other ethnicity store. And that's the part that I don't get. I feel like we should all be given... Well, you don't even have to give me another chance. Go shop at Ivan or go shop at... I don't know.
Well, it's a cultural thing, too, because
some people... Go shop at Tyrone's store.
Come on, Tyrone. I think it's a cultural thing, because a lot of people feel that, you know, people associate, and this is unfortunate, but they associate things made on a smaller scale as being cheap or in low quality.
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up. So there's a caveat to that.
Okay.
Because what I want people to understand is actually things produced on a smaller scale are actually more expensive only because of the scale.
Right.
Technically, the thing you buy in a big box retailer is actually cheaper because it's produced on the cheaper scale. So more than likely, if a business produces something, more than likely, if it's, let's go to food, your ingredients are probably going to be better quality because they're buying in smaller quantity. So they aren't buying 1,000 pounds of processed flour. They only have enough money to pay for 10 pounds of organic flour, for example. So if you ask me, buying something that's made in smaller quantity is probably going to be made with more love, better ingredients, and better for you. So why don't we go that route? Why is the, you know what I mean, the concept considered that anything produced big is, I mean,
but small. That's not how consumers think. Consumers don't think like that.
Because I'm not a consumer. Maybe that's, I'm not a regular consumer. No, I'm a business owner. I understand how this consumers works.
Consumers think like that. I mean, and prior to us doing business, you know, I mean, no, we thought the like same. This. Well, you do what you get what you need based on when you need it. You mm-hmm. need it right then. You don't, you try to, try to get away from all, you try to run away from all of the BS to get what you want. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, whatever you have to do, people are going to get what they get. And if you don't have it at easy access for them right then, you know, they're going to go to the next thing. But that depends on the industry too, because you can't kind of do that with my industry. It's kind of like, especially if you want something customized just for you, it has to be, you know, take some time. But I mean, it's a mindset that you know, it's a mindset that people... Now, I can't sit up here and say that all black businesses are good, but then we can't say that all of our more diverse businesses aren't good either. Customer service plays a huge role.
It is, and...
plays a huge role.
I feel like one of the things when I create my school, one of the things that I want to do is teach a customer service class. And I think in my school... it's probably going to be like a 101, and it's probably going to be the entry level course. And I'm probably not even going to charge for this course, because I'm going to determine from how you pass or fail the course if you are even going to be allowed to continue in the school, because it is the most vital portion of your business. Forget what you offer. Forget how fast you can do it. Forget how good you can do it. People will not shop with you if you are rude.
I agree.
People will not shop at your business if the employees you hire are rude. I don't even know how to say that loud enough. Like, customer service. It's a skill.
It's a big deal.
That so many people do not possess, but so many people are in that customer service position. Right. And I, for the life of me, do not understand that. So I definitely want to talk like more about that when I get to that point where I'm about to gonna open the school. It's a digital school, not an actual school, guys.
Gotcha.
Definitely, I wanna.
I'm like, Kirk will be in the classroom in front of the board with his suit on. Mm-hmm. And we can't wear shorts to the schoolhouse.
Yes, we can.
Can't wear shorts to the schoolhouse.
You can when your name's on the front of the school. I don't play those games. But so I've been thinking about that. So now